is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you again as we begin a new series in the Word of God. And we're going to really be examining a favorite subject of mine. Is there a conspiracy in the world today? More than that, we're going to be discussing and examining the ages-old conspiracy between man and God. You know, really, it's more than a conspiracy by men against God, because men in this conspiracy have the active aid and assistance of millions of devils from the pit. So, in effect, what we're going to be discussing over the next several weeks is the ages-old conspiracy between Satan's agents, whether they be demon or human, against God and His kingdom. Now, I want you to understand, a lot of people say, well, Tex, what are we supposed to do about this kind of information? Well, God, amazingly, doesn't give you a detailed scenario of what to do with your life. You can go to the Bible and, you know, there's just not a guide for what to do every day from the moment you wake up till the time you go to bed at night. And, you know, there doesn't have to be. First of all, we know that God has written His law on our hearts, if you belong to Him. A lot of people look to the Bible as a law book. And of course, there are principles, there are commandments, and you should obey those. Don't get me wrong. God hasn't negated His word. It's simply that those same guidelines are written on your heart. For example, the Ten Commandments says, you know, it begins with, "Thou shalt not worship other gods before me." But if you belong to Jesus, you already know that. It's written on your heart. There's nothing wrong with reading the Ten Commandments and studying them. But tell me the truth. Once you belong to Jesus Christ, didn't you really know He was the only one to be worshipped? The Ten Commandments tells us not to lie, not to kill. In other words, murder. But you already knew that. If you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, you know you're not supposed to murder. You think you have to have a book as great as it is, written by God, perfect in every way, tell you that? No, you already know those things. Friends, you know you're not supposed to commit adultery. You know you're not supposed to cheat people. You know you're not supposed to deceive. You know you're not supposed to defraud. You know you're not supposed to provoke your children by being cruel to them, by being unfair to them. You know you're supposed to treat your wife the way you want Christ and the way Christ does treat you. And husbands and wives, you know how you're supposed to treat your husbands. You know you're supposed to treat each other, in fact, with great respect and love and care and mutual admiration and trust. You know you're supposed to treat your neighbor as yourself. You know you're supposed to put God first in your life. You know there are things that God requires you to do. Friends, listen to me. The best way to ensure that you're living the life God wants you to, a joyous, prosperous life, is to live through God in you. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, the Jews have these law books, the Talmud. Oh, they're in slavery and bondage. The Muslims have their various laws. They have all of the sayings of Muhammad written into what they call their hadith. And every religion seems to have its rules and regulations. Most of them in writing. But God writes these things down in your heart. How do you know them? You just get up in the morning, and from the minute you wake up, my friends, you tell Jesus, please, Lord, live my life today for me. Show me what to do. Teach me. Guide me. And, you know, God will, in His great wisdom, will lead you to everything you're supposed to do that day. The steps of a righteous man or woman are indeed ordered by God, and He has already arranged the good works you are to do in advance for you. The people you're going to meet today, God has arranged it all. I ran into Sally by accident at the supermarket. No, you didn't. Wanda last night made a phone call to a friend, and she hadn't called her in a little while. Her name was Pat, the woman she was calling. And she was going to invite Pat over to do something or other. I don't even know what it was, over to the house. And she opened up her little Rolodex. You know, this is like this phone thing. You know, you just put the little dial thing and then push the button, and it goes up to the phone number for a certain letter of the alphabet. And Pat's last name was Oyston, O-Y-S-T-E-N. So she pushed the little button on the O's to call Pat Oyston, and she looked at the phone number. But Wanda made a mistake, because the next person in line was somebody named Orsak, Linda Orsak, Oyston Orsak. And she accidentally called Linda Orsak's name, a phone number. And Linda answered, hello. And Wanda said, Pat, is this you? And Linda said, Wanda, is that you? And Wanda said, oh, Linda Orsak. Well, I haven't talked to you for a long, long time. Well, Linda said, well, why are you calling? Who's Pat? Oh, that's just another friend of mine, Wanda said. I've been wondering how you're doing, you and your husband, Otto. And, you know, they got into a big conversation. And Linda said to Wanda, she said to her on the phone, now imagine, this wasn't planned at all. Wanda planned on calling somebody entirely different. She got in the directory, got the wrong number. It was just right. There were the two numbers right there together, I'm sure. Suddenly she's speaking with Linda. She wanted to talk to Pat. She says, what are you doing now, Linda? Linda said, well, I've got a volunteer job. I'm going down to the Hayes County Jail. And they've assigned me 26 women down there in jail. And I counseled them. And Wanda said, well, how wonderful. And she said, oh, it's been a great ministry, Wanda. She said, right now I'm looking for some books and some tapes and some materials to give these prisoners, some Christian materials. Wanda said, oh, well, come on down to the ministry offices. We've got this wonderful Bible devotional guide, and we'll give you a several cases free of it. And we've got this wonderful book called The Blood of Christ, and we'll give you some of that. And we got God's Promise, little promise book, and then we got the Bible Student's Handbook, and we'll give you all of those on a, you know, missionary outreach program that we have. And Linda says, well, I don't have to pay for them. She says, no, you can have them free. You know, if you're going to be trying to help people come to know Jesus, or, and Linda was just thrilled. She says, well, I'll come by the ministry offices. So now she has arranged to come by the ministry offices and pick up some free materials that we're going to give her for those women in jail. But it wasn't planned. Or was it? I think it was. I think Linda Orsak was probing in her mind, how am I going to get these materials? I need books. I need inexpensive Bibles. I need. Maybe she had prayed about it. And then the phone rang, and there was Wanda Morris to say, I've got books for you. I've got Bibles for you, free of charge. See how things work together for good to all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, listen to me. I'm not saying everything works so miraculously as that does. But that was no accident, Wanda calling Linda Orsak. She got off the phone and said, guess who I just talked to, Tex? I said, yeah, I heard you. It was Linda Orsak. She says, yeah. And we talked about this and that and this. And she went on and on to tell me how she was doing. You see, friends, God has a destiny for you. On the other hand, there are those who despise God, who love evil, have rejected the truth. They're caught up in a web of bondage and deception. And you know, the devil puts them in touch with his people too, his agents. Just as God puts us together as Christians and arranges our lives, the devil arranges for like-minded evil people to come together as one to fight the things that are good in this world. There's no accident. Why evil men have banded together in a conspiracy. It's not some kind of a strange, fringe, weird, nutcake idea at all. It is the history of this world. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at it from a scriptural perspective. This ages-old conspiracy between man and God. The devil is ever working to weave a spider's web network of evil. And he wraps his cloak around thousands of human beings and imbues them, that is, endows them, gives them, provides them, furnishes them with the weapons and tools they need to destroy the good of this world. But God has a greater plan. Regardless of the devil's ages-old conspiracy, God has a plan that he formulated before the beginning of the world. And he took into account everything the devil would do. Every foul trick, deception, cunning lie that the devil will throw against you, my friends, God already knew about it in advance. You think you've been tricked by evil? You think you've been surprised? No, God has it all in control. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. Now, we always have beautiful music. And if you got a comment to make, or some words of encouragement perhaps, or an idea that God's put in your mind, or a prayer need, a prayer request, maybe you won't text Mars to know that you're praying for me. I need all the prayers that I can get. And I believe that I am on this mission that I'm on because of the prayers of the saint. There was a need for a Bible home church because of the great apostasy in the last days. You know, it says in the book of Amos that in the last days there'll be a great famine throughout the earth, not of bread, but of the preaching of the word of God. And this program goes across the world, and people are hungry. They're in famine, my friends. They cannot get enough of the Word of God. Not locally. You know, the Bible says that people will be so hungry, they will literally travel the oceans just looking for someone to preach the gospel. Isn't that astonishing? I believe in America today, people are so hungry and so desperate, so starved for the Word of God. They cannot find it preached in churches today. And they begin to twist and to turn in their mind and say, what can I do? And some run off into the devil's houses. Some go off into the New Age or the occult. Or they take up agnosticism or atheism because there's no one to preach to them, they think. Of course, if they simply prayed to the Lord, he would send them a messenger. I believe that. I believe anyone who prays and asks God to send them help, He will do it. Believe me, in His time. He's not some genie for you to command, do this and do that and give me what I want right now. But you pray, my friends, and be patient. Be patient. And God will do it. He will do it. And I believe that many have prayed, God, send me the Word of God. And then someone says, brother, you can hear the Word of God. Pastor Tex Mars in Bible Home Church, he preaches the Word of God because he believes the Bible is inspired, is perfect, is without error, and that Jesus is still Lord, and every other god is a false devil. And he believes that you can trust in Jesus. 100%. And he believes Jesus Christ is coming again. And you know, a lot of people say, I want to hear that program. That's the program I want to hear. We don't tickle people's ears here. We don't try to make them feel good. We don't tell them we'll make them rich. We don't say, send this ministry a love gift of $100 and God will give you back $10,000. We don't tell you that at all. We say this, obey God and count the cost. But know this, there is treasure in His Word. And Jesus is that pearl of great price. All right, my friends, we have a beautiful song today. It's an old song, you know. You know, nowadays, people don't even talk about supper anymore. They talk about going to dinner. Well, back in the South where I came from a little town in East Texas. I guess you could call that the South. Some call it the Southwest. But the evening meal we used to call supper. Sometimes we'd go out and play, and then, boy, when we'd see that sun going down over the horizon, we might hear our old mom call out, supper time! And boy, we'd come running. Well, here's a beautiful old song. It's a great old standard. I think you'll enjoy it. And then we've got a few minutes left today to begin our series on the ages-old conspiracy between man and God. This is Pastor Tex Mars, again reminding you, you're listening to Bible Home Church. Now from the Gaither Old Friends album, you can get that at your Christian bookstores. Here's a wonderful tune you're going to love.
Memories of my childhood were woven around supper time. When Mom would come to the back steps of the old home place, she'd say, George, come on in, it's supper time. Oh my, but how I'd love to hear that once more. Russ, you know, time has woven the realization of a truth that is even more thrilling. And that's when the Lord comes to the portals of glory and says, come on in, for it's supper time, and we'll be gathered around the table with the Lord Himself at the greatest supper time of them all. In visions now I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. Banquet tables ready up in heaven. Oh, it's supper time upon the golden shore. Hallelujah. Come home, it's supper time. Come home,
indeed prophetic power in the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of prophets abroad throughout planet Earth. But I wouldn't put much stock in any of them who base their prophecies on something other than the Scriptures. You know, television all the time comes on with specials about Nostradamus, the French seer of many centuries ago. And yet, when you look at the quatrains of Nostradamus, there were a few amazing hits. But then there were also prophetic mistakes, let's just call them miscues. In other words, false prophecies by this French seer, Nostradamus. You know, friends, even a broken clock or a watch that's inoperative is correct at least twice a day. And so, not too many years ago, I was reading in the newspaper a study that was done of the forecast and predictions of the world's greatest astrologers, Gene Dixon and so forth. Amazingly, their predictions came true a fewer, in other words, a less percentage of time than did those of just people chosen at random on the street. You see, what they did was they took the predictions of Gene Dixon and the other famous astrologers and psychics, and then they just took people at random off the street and said, would you predict something that you believe will happen this year? They found out that just the people picked off the street at random were able to predict the future greater than the astrologers. Now, if we're going to know the future, however, there is one sure way, and that is God's Word, the Holy Bible. We're going to talk about the future today, and yet we're going to talk about the past. You see, the past sets the agenda for the future. Did you know that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? You say, how could that be? How could he be slain when the foundation of the world was laid? And as a matter of fact, Jesus was the one who laid the foundation of the world. Tex, you're talking about something that scientifically is impossible. Well, of course it is. Because science is a false methodology without knowledge. And of course, God is the great scientist, the greatest of all time, the greatest that there ever will be or could be. And he sets his own agenda, his own time. We're more and more, of course, finding out scientifically that time is relative. Now, not morals. Man tries to make morals and religion relative. But God has certain absolutes. But when we get to the area of time, it is indeed relative. Einstein had some insight into that. E equals mc square, that old equation, but powerful in its profundity at the time when Einstein came up with it, shows us clearly that time cannot be measured in the normal way that we measure it as human beings. But it depends on space and speed and other elements. Now, I'm trying to work into something today that's going to be very powerful for you to understand. You see, from the beginning of time, God even knew that the devil would rebel and revolt against him. You say, why didn't God stop it? Well, I don't know. I can't read God's mind. He did what he wanted to do. I've always been very pleased to just go along with God's plan. I've always been very pleased to do that. You know, a lot of people cannot accept things as they are, and they wish to change those things. You know, Satan himself would like to change things, would he not? He doesn't want to go. His destiny is the pit. He doesn't want to go there necessarily, but he cannot change his destiny. Judas betrayed Christ and went and hung himself. You say, well, surely that was a destiny he did not
desire. Well, he may not have desired it, but he went and fulfilled his destiny. Why did he do it? Because at the Last Supper, Jesus looked at him and said, go and do what you have to do quickly. And Judas, being commanded so by the Lord Jesus, immediately got up and went and did his dirty deed. You see, my friends, God has set the parameters of your life and my life. Now, at the same time, he has set the parameters for what we would call the great world conspiracy of the last days. And these are facts. These are not theories.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.